Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, Text 41. Ashnati Ananta Kalu Tattva Kovidai Shraddha Hutam Yan Mukha Ijya Namibhi Na Vai Tata Chaitanaya Bahish Kute Kutashane Paramahamsya Paryagu Ashnatyananta Kalutattva Kovidai Shraddha Hutam Yan Mukha Ijyanama Bihi Navaitata Chaitanaya Bahishkate Utashane Paramahamsya Paryaguhu Ashnatyananta Kalutattva Kovidai Shraddhahutam Yan Mukha Ijyanama Bihi Navaitata Chaitanaya Bahishkate Utashane Paramahamsya Paryaguhu Ashnatyananta Kalutattva Kovidai Shraddhahutam Yan Mukha Ijyanama Bihi Navaitata Chaitanaya Bahishkate Utashane Paramahamsya Paryaguhu Shraddhahutam Yan Mukha Ijyanama Bihi Vaitata Chaitanaya Bahishkate Dasane Hamsa Tarigu Ananta Kovidai Shraddha Hutam Yan Mukha Ijyanamahi Vaitata Chaitanaya Bahishkate Tashare Paramahamsa Tarigu
Haribu.
Vaishnavis, Ashnati eats. Anantaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kalu, nevertheless. Tattva-ko-vidhai, persons in knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Shraddha, faith. Hutam, offering fire sacrifices. Yatmuke, whose mouth. Vijanamabhi, by different names of demigods. Na, never. Vai, certainly. Tata, as much. Chaitanaya, by living force. Bahi krite, being bereft of. Huta ashane, in the fire sacrifice. Paramahamsya, regarding devotees. Paryagahu, never goes away. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta, eats through the fire sacrifices offered in the names of the different demigods, He does not take as much pleasure in eating through fire as He does in accepting offerings through the mouths of learned sages and devotees, for then He does not leave the association of devotees. Please repeat. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta, eats through the fire sacrifices offered in the names of the different demigods, He does not take as much pleasure in eating through the fire as He does in accepting offerings through the mouths of learned sages and devotees. For then He does not leave the association of devotees. Purport. According to Vedic injunctions, a fire sacrifice is held in order to give food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the names of the different demigods. While performing a fire sacrifice, one pronounces the word swaha, as in mantras such as Indraya Swaha and Adityaya Swaha. These mantras are uttered to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead through demigods such as Indra and Aditya. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hriday yeshuva tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhaktaha. I am not in Vaikuntha, nor in the hearts of the yogis. I remain where my devotees engage in glorifying my activities. It is to be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not leave the company of His devotees. Fire is certainly devoid of life, but devotees and brahmanas are the living representatives of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, to feed brahmanas and Vaishnavas is to feed the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. It may be concluded that instead of offering fire sacrifices, one should offer foodstuffs to the brahmins and the Vaishnavas. For that process is more effective than fire yajna. The vivid example of this principle in action was given by Advaita Prabhu. When he performed the Shraddha ceremony for his father, he first of all called Haridas Thakur and offered him food. It is the practice that after finishing the Shraddha ceremony, one should offer food to an elevated Brahmin. But Advaita Prabhu offered food first to Haridas Thakur, who had taken his birth in a Mohammedan family. Therefore, Haridas Thakur asked Advaita Prabhu why he was doing something which might jeopardize his position in Brahmin society. Advaita Prabhu replied, that he was feeding millions of first-class Brahmins by offering the food to Haridas Thakur. He was prepared to talk with any learned Brahmin on the point and proved definitively that by offering food to a pure devotee like Haridas Thakur, he was equally as blessed as he would have been by offering food to thousands of learned Brahmanas. When performing sacrifices, one offers oblations to the sacrificial fire. But when such oblations are offered to Vaishnavas, they are certainly more effective. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Since today is it the appearance day of Abhiram, the disappearance day of Abhiram Thakur, I'll just say a few words about him. There's not much information given in Srila Prabhupada's books, but you know, we learn that he was an associate of Lord Nityananda. He was one of the chief cowherd boy associates of Krishna and Balaram. I think his name is Sridham. And one of the things that's often mentioned about him is that he had a whip, a bull whip, called Jayamangala. So everything is there in Krishna consciousness. You're not missing out on anything. But you know, it said that when he would, you know, Srila Prabhupada used the word touch, but apparently he would apply the whip. And by the touch of it, you know, a person would get love of God, prema, you know, by, you know, getting touched, you know, by the whip of this Abhiram Thakur. Srinivasacharya was one of the devotees who got that honor of receiving three times, you know, the touch of the whip of this Abhiram Thakur. And he was a very strong preacher. It said that, you know, different kinds of Mayavadis and other kinds of rascals would be very afraid to see him coming because they knew what they were going to get. And there's also a story that that Krishna revealed to him the location of a deity in a dream. He excavated this deity. So, just a few words about this particular associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in particular. So, oh, just one minor observation. I was chanting my rounds this morning, and I saw this big tractor trailer for a company named, I think, Owens and Miller or something, and it had these big letters on Om. So, the holy name is out there everywhere. So, of course, our acharyas, like Jiva Goswami, explained that it's actually not two letters, it's three, A-U-M. And one represents Radha, another letter represents Krishna, another letter represents the Jiva. So it's sad. Krite yadhyayatam Vishnu, Tretayam yajato makai, Dvaparar parcharyayam, Kalo tadhari kirtanat. In different ages, different forms of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are recommended. In the Satya Yuga, the recommended form of worship was the yoga system of meditation, you know, in the form of the Lord, you know, within the heart. And then in the next yuga, the Treta Yuga, this process of fire sacrifice was recommended, the recommended form of worship. And then in the Dwapara Yuga, deity worship was the recommended form of worship. And then finally in the age of Kali, Kalo Tadhari Kirtanat, in the age of Kali, the recommended form of sacrifice is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar, Yajanti Hisa Meda Saha. So in this age of Kali, intelligent people perform the sacrifice of chanting, you know, the holy names of the Lord. But we can see in our modern Krishna consciousness movement, you know, our acharyas have arranged that the other processes are still there. I mean, the meditation is still there. That was the goal of yoga, to meditate, you know, in the form of the Lord. So we still have, you know, a process of, you know, meditation, of thinking about Krishna, meditating on his name in various forms. So we still retain, you know, some of that Satya Yuga kind of worship in the form of our meditation practices. And then we also see that we retain some of that fire yajna kind of worship. Though it's not the main thing that we do, still it's there. I mean, we see that at the time of initiation and during other, you know, ceremonies, the fire yajna is produced, even in our modern Krishna consciousness movement. And of course, we still have a big emphasis on deity worship, you know, regulated worship in the temple. And our acharyas, they adjusted these things, you know, very carefully. It's not an accident that, you know, we have, you know, the particular forms of worship that we engage in today. And of course, our main emphasis is Hari Kirtana, you know, the Hari Kirtan, the chanting of the sound vibration of the holy names of the Lord. And these sound vibrations are also expressed in the Vedic literature. In ancient times, they didn't have to be written down, but in Kali Yuga, they're written down. So this is also a form of Hari Kirtan, you know, the production and distribution of transcendental literatures. It's also a form of sacrifice. The other kinds of worship from the other yugas, the other types of sacrifice from the other yugas are still here today. They've been incorporated today, but all in the right balance. You know, Srila Prabhupada and before him Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur adjusted things so that we have, you know, the right balance, you know, of all these different forms of sacrifice and worship. And, you know, we have to, you know, maintain that balance. So even these fire sacrifice, which is, you know, mentioned here, is still done. I mean, there are, and it's there are actually reflections of it in other cultures. I think I've told this story before, but it's appropriate here. Maybe some of you haven't heard it. But when I was a little boy, you know, I was living in Hawaii, you know, the family. And once our family went on vacation to the big island of Hawaii, and we went to Kilauea, which is a volcano there. It was a big, huge hole in the ground, like one of the craters on the moon, but it's on the earth, basically. And we were kind of taken down by Hawaiian guides to the very bottom of the huge crater. And in the middle of the bottom of the crater, there's this hole that goes deep down to the earth. And there's fire down there. There's a volcano. Fire. So they had some system of demigod worship, as is being mentioned here. You know, these ancient Hawaiian people, they had some system of demigod worship. So one of the kahunas, the Hawaiian priest, he kind of gave me a banana. Sort of just like, at a fire sacrifice, you get a banana. And he said, okay, you offer it. You offer it into the fire to goddess Pele. So Pele is their fire goddess. And just as here, Srila Prabhupada's mentioning the names of different Vedic demigods. So I did it. The priest, at the direction of the kahuna, I put the banana, threw it down, saw it go down, into the fire, into the lava, the burning lava. And then, the kahuna told me, okay, now you're protected. Because when you do sacrifice, there's supposed to be some result. I said, okay, now you're going to be protected from volcanoes and fire wherever you go. So then, some years later, when I was older, I was in the Navy, I was in Iceland, and there was a volcano named Hekla erupting there. They considered it in Christian times to be the gateway to hell in Europe. So, I went there. with this friend of mine, we rented a Land Rover. We drove out to the volcano. And there was a river of lava flowing out the side of it. So I went up to this river of lava. And there were some solid pieces floating on it. So I decided, okay, let me take a ride. So I jumped on one of the solid pieces, thus inventing the sport of lava surfing. And jumped off of it. And then we went, my friend and I, we went and sat on a little hill at the base of the volcano to have our lunch. And when we were sitting there, the hill started shaking. We ran away, back to our Land Rover, turned around and looked, and the hill exploded. The very hill that we were sitting on exploded. So my friend said to me, well, boy, that was lucky. We could have been killed. So I said, so thinking back, to the offering I made to this goddess Pele, I thought, well, maybe it's not just luck. Whatever the case may be, in Vedic times, these fire sacrifices were very common. And even today, there are, there's a group of people in India, kind of the Arya Samaj, like they think only fire sacrifice. Now, this deity worship is just a bunch of superstition. It shouldn't be engaged in. No temples, no deity worship. And actually, at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in particular, these people were very powerful in India. Like even in India, there was a lot of propaganda against deity worship. So this is idolatry. Of course, this was the product of a lot of influences. Of course, there was the Muslim influence. The Muslims had conquered India, and they were against idolatry, and they had made a lot of propaganda against it. Then when the British came and Christianity entered, they also didn't like it very much. And so a lot of the you could say when the Hindu revival movements began in India in the 19th century, a lot of them were also against, you know, this deity worship. You know, there's this man named Ram Mohan Roy, you know, head of the what's called the Brahmo Samaj. He was also opposing this deity worship. So it was Bhaktivinod Thakur who stood up for it. Yeah, you know, he said no. You know, this is bona fide. So and then Bhaktisiddhanta also carried it on. Yeah, he established temples with deities, and Srila Prabhupada, of course, did too. Because they had this idea, our acharyas had the idea that our Krishna consciousness movement goes on, you know, two tracks. The Pancha Trikhi Vidhi of deity worship, which is very essential for giving people, you know, the chance to appreciate the form of God. Because a lot of these, you know, reformers, you know, so-called reformers that were in 19th century India, they tried to have a more universal concept of God, you know, some vague, either some, you know, impersonal concept or just, yes, it doesn't matter, you know, Buddha, Allah, Krishna, you know, Christ, you know, it's all, you know, all one, so to speak. But, you know, Bhaktivinod Thakur, you know, he insisted, no, worship of the form of Krishna, this is important. And that's what's universal. And he said that this isn't just for, this is for everybody. Worship of Krishna is for everybody. So, Bhaktisiddhanta kind of took that up, and of course Srila Prabhupada took it up. Yes, this is for everyone. So now we have deities of Radha, Krishna, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Sri Sri Gaura Nithai, all over the world. And everyone is appreciating. I mean, there may be so many problems, you know, people, you know, perceive, you know, if you get into the nuts and bolts of the Hare Krishna movement, but you know, you just open the doors and hundreds of people are here every, you know, Sunday. They can't resist. Prasadam. And we're offering them prasadam, as being described here. And Krishna's very happy with that. That people come for these festivals. I mean, every Sunday we have a festival. And people come to see the beautiful form of Krishna. And then Krishna is very happy. Krishna is just totally overjoyed that people are lined up down the block to receive foodstuffs, his prasadam. You know, as mentioned here, you know, Krishna is much happier when the offerings are made to, you know, his devotees than when they're offered just into the fire. Fire sacrifices. So we have a big debt, you know, to Srila Prabhupada, to our previous acharyas, that they've packaged, you know, the Krishna consciousness movement. You know, they've put it together in the appropriate form, you know, for, you know, the Kali Yuga. And what do we know? I mean, we'd be very unintelligent to try to make big changes in it. What do we know? So, we've been given the process of Krishna consciousness in the form adapted, you know, for this age, so that we have the right balance of all these things. You know, the emphasis is on Hare Kirtan, you know, the Bhagavat Vidhi, the propagation of the holy name of the Lord, preaching, sankirtan, book distribution, and all of its different forms. But then to keep ourselves fit for that service, we have, you know, the regulated process of, you know, deity worship, which is meant, as I said, to keep us fit for performing the Sankirtan Yajna. And then as part of that, there's this fire sacrifice. And of course, we also meditate as well. Memorize verses. Meditate on the form of the Lord. So does anybody have any question or comment? Dravida.
Hare Krishna. So, you mentioned that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he revived, or he pressed for deity worship and was carried on by Bhaktisiddhanta, of course, expanded all over the world by Prabhupada. But, to what degree, you said, well, we don't want to change it, but, like the deity, for instance, we decorate the deity in flowers, but many of the flowers mentioned in the Shastra that you find in India, for instance, champak flowers or lotuses, we can't find here. So we have flowers that we can find that are, you know, roses and carnations and whatever we have. So that's, of course, bona fide. But to what degree, what about, you know, Western clothes, something that we would feel would be beautiful, that we, you know, that in other words, there's certain cultural differences all over the world. You go to Indonesia, you go to Russia, they have a different sense of beauty, what's beautiful dress. To what degree do we have leeway to do that kind of thing?
I mean, Radha Krishna in blue jeans
in Vrindavan, no less. Well, that's maybe going too far, but I mean,
a Brooks Brothers suit.
Brook Brothers suit.
A Brook Brothers suit for Krishna. Suit, yeah, tie for Krishna.
A Prada dress for Radharani or something like that.
Well, I can just... Well, what do I know? But, you know, we've been given a certain standard. But there is time, place, and circumstance. And devotees, I mean, we have GBC, we have minister of, you know, deity worship. I think the tendency I've seen is the tendency to be conservative, which I think is a good tendency. You know,
Krishna Prasadam, for instance, Krishna probably never had pizza until the Prabhupada opened temples in Italy, and then suddenly we have pizza also in my
pizza. In other words, before Prabhupada expanded the movement all over the world, Krishna maybe on the world never ate pizza. But now he's relishing pizza. That's prasadam. So why not dress and different things?
Well, it's a good question for the devotees to discuss. Yeah, I think there is time, place, and circumstance. You know, how things should be done. If you ask my advice, it's good to be conservative. That's what I would say. It's good to be conservative. But I can't say that, you know, I mean, Sri Prabhupada gave an authority system of, you know, if the best and brightest minds, they decide to do something, I think there are adjustments that can be made. But my own personal opinion is it seems to be working. If it's not, people are very attracted. That we don't, you know, our temples are full on Sundays. And people come. They think that the deities are very beautiful the way they are. it doesn't seem that changing is going to make them any more attractive. Just make cause many people to go away. You know, like okay. Okay, go ahead.
I think Shastrakrit was telling a story. Wasn't it you told me the story? In India, how they dressed the deity in Western clothes?
It's a Bangi Bihari temple. At Bangi Bihari temple, they gave Krishna a cell phone and Western clothes.
Can you tell that story? Because I also, one time, I thought I'd be ingenious. I was in St. Louis for so long, I thought I could do anything I wanted. That disease sometimes happens to persons who are in remote parts of the world. And I dressed the Gornitai deities with jewelry going both ways around them. And when devotees asked, why did you do that? I said, it's the Pancho Tattva. Our Hispanic devotees may understand. And people got very angry. I didn't do that again. But there's that story about Bangi Bihari. What happened?
People got angry. People got angry. I think the priest got, yeah, priest got fired.
What happened?
I don't know. Did he get fired, the priest?
Didn't he? Wasn't there a threat? He got killed or something? The pujari?
I didn't hear he was killed. I heard either he was removed or going to be removed.
How did he dress the deity?
You know, with jeans and sports shirt and cell phone. Anyways, maybe our head pujari can come in. Yeah, Govindadat, yes.
It's mentioned in the scriptures how Krishna dresses. Similarly, it mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, how does Krishna eat? Patram pushpam palam toyam. And others ask, well, it doesn't say you can't offer meat to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. It doesn't say you cannot eat meat. Well, we understand Krishna explains what he does want to eat. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Similarly, it doesn't say in the scriptures, okay, you can't dress Krishna in a Brooks Brothers suit. Well, we don't expect the scriptures to say that. Krishna explains he wears a yellow dhoti. He dresses like a prince. It's explained that way. We shouldn't change it. It's my personal comment. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Anyone else? Swavas.
It always seems that when different senior devotees come to New Dwarka, I won't mention any names, but there are several of them that always ask me why we put Gornitai in pants and why don't we just have like dhotis. So it seems that there is somewhat of a controversy in ISKCON concerning certain deities, because in some places... like, for instance, if you go to Laguna Beach, they just have dhotis, no pants. So, you know, there is some problem with that. Like, in other words, in some places, you know, yeah, with the peacock feathers. So we do have our own internal controversy.
Yeah, in reference there's ways for resolving it. Yeah, you know, if you're a society.
Yeah.
You know, then there has to be some kind of way of resolving disputes. And Srila Prabhupada's given a way. And that's why I said you can never say never. But, you know, but there's a way for deciding these things.
Yeah.
And I just gave a general principle of being conservative.
Exactly, which I agree with. I think it's a very good point. I think there was one point where Prabhupada said they could have. I can't remember now. Yeah, it must have been something that happened. I don't recall what it is exactly, but anyway, there is a situation. So you're right. As a society, we should try to resolve it, and that we should be as conservative as possible.
Archita, okay, just Archita, and then we'll stop.
There are principles and there are details. So,
For instance, with food, we may not have any reference in the Vedas that, you know, Krishna ate a burrito. But doesn't mean that if you're from a country where burritos are, which are purely vegetarian, if you make it pure, that you can't offer it to Krishna. So it's the same thing with the dressing. Right now in Mayapur, there was a big controversy over some oriental dress that our, you know, 30-year devotees, pujaris, put on the deities. They put it, you know, it wasn't that somebody snuck in overnight and did it. Jananivas and Pankajangi, they decided that these devotees from China came and they brought special outfits that they had made, Chinese style, and they put them on, you know, brought them out of an ashisaki. And a lot of devotees were up in arms about that. Why are you dressed in Krishna oriental? But where does it say that Krishna can't wear silk in a certain style? You know, sometimes we get a little too hung up on what's Vedic. But, you know, it's not stated anywhere that you can't be a little bit imaginative for Krishna. Krishna himself is imaginative. When he's walking through the forest, he plucks this flower and puts it on his ear. He does all kinds of imaginative things. Now, also, we can't stretch that to include Brooks Brothers suits necessarily. But at the same time, we shouldn't be so rigid that we can't be a little bit creative for Krishna's sake.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.